You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Hello, everyone. I'm Allison Footer from MLB.com, here for our weekly chat with Ken Gernick, the fearless reporter for MLB.com, covers the Dodgers. And Ken, I just want to talk about Zach Greinke to start off with, because there's some great stats that have come along with just a fabulous start to the year and really picking up where he left off. The most important stat, I think, that I'm looking at right now is 21-6 when starting after a team loss. So when you're talking about a team that's expected to contend and expected to do great things, that is a huge addition to have, or I guess a luxury to have when you go through a season.
Well, it is, and the funny part about it is that very often he's following Clayton Kershaw, so there aren't that many losses in the past, but there have been this year, you know, unfortunately for the Dodgers. But you know, they're pretty lucky in that they have this 1-2 punch, you know. And at the time that Greinke signed, it was compared to Koufax and Drysdale, and it's kind of been that way. If it isn't one, it's the other. And last year it was both. This year, Kershaw's gotten off to a slow start, but Greinke's been, you know, pinpoint command. He doesn't throw as hard as he used to, and he doesn't throw as hard as most of the best pitchers in baseball. But his numbers are right there because he can throw pretty much any pitch where he wants it. And he gets overlooked a little bit, but, you know, when the other guy was an MVP, you're going to get overlooked. But he's not overlooked in the clubhouse, and he's a big reason why the Dodgers are in first place.
Yeah, 5-0 starts with this season for the second year in a row. Undefeated since last August. Yeah, just amazing. And really, like you say, because of Clayton Kershaw being a teammate, he doesn't get a lot of attention. And now moving on to Kershaw, a very fine 3.72 ERA in six starts, still throwing well. But I know that he's frustrated with some of the results. And, you know, how is he handling everything right now? He seemed to be a little not real talkative after his last outing.
Yeah, he's been snippy, you know, and he's not he's tough on himself, let's put it that way. And he set the bar high, and it's not just the expectations that everybody else has for him, but it's now the expectations that he has. And I think he's, you know, maybe he's trying to show that last year wasn't a fluke, although I don't know that anybody thinks it was. But he just seems to be trying. You know, Greinke said something last night about the difference between him when he won the Cy Young and his consistency now is that he doesn't try as hard as he used to. He doesn't try to make every pitch a perfect pitch. And I guess if just from a distance, if you're thinking about what might be wrong with Kershaw, is he might be trying to make every pitch the perfect pitch. And they're not going to always be perfect, and he's given up 5 home runs. A lot earlier than he did last year. So he just might be trying too hard. It might be as simple as that.
I want to talk a little bit about Yasiel Puig. And the last that I read, he was going to be going on a rehab assignment, eligible to come off the DL on May 10th, and everybody seems to feel that that's going to happen. What's the update on him?
No update, unfortunately. Nothing's really changed. He's in L.A. Getting treatment, doing tests. Mattingly was a little bit kind of riding the fence whether Puig will be available Sunday when he's eligible to come off, but he said it shouldn't be much longer after that if he's not ready there then. But he hasn't gone out on a rehab assignment, so as far as that goes, we don't know.
Okay. And just the starting rotation, so I guess Joe Weiland will be the 9th different starting pitcher for the Dodgers, which pretty amazing because we're only like 30-some games in the season. But so Frias, let's get an update here. He will be starting on Thursday. And so his first audition against the Diamondbacks when he was replacing Brandon McCarthy went well. So that has to be encouraging. I guess they'd be getting some contributions from these guys while trying to piece together the back end of the rotation.
Yeah, that's you know, a good solution to a really bad problem, losing McCarthy for the year and Ryu for who knows how long. We really haven't been given much of a timetable, maybe early June, but the Dodgers have been really dodging the question as far as how badly he's hurt and when he'll be ready. He's also not on the trip back in L.A. Getting therapy with Puig. So it's a question mark. They've been churning all these guys out of AAA to bring them up for a start and send them back down. It's Hoyland's turn, and then followed by Frias, who gets his second start. That's almost like being locked into this rotation at this point. So they like Frias. He'll probably stick around even if he isn't a starter because he can be a swing man. But it's not really the way they drew it up, having to fill in your fourth and fifth starters. But that's what they've got to do. And so far they've been able to get away with it to a big extent because the bullpen has been the real surprise. It's been so effective in picking up games in the fifth and sixth inning and throwing up zero. So if it wasn't for the bullpen, this shortage of starters would really be a problem for the Dodgers. And it's going to be a problem if the bullpen can't keep up this kind of remarkable run.
Right. We should note that as we're speaking, the Dodgers are 17-9, and this conversation is usually about teams that are well under 500 with having so many problems in the rotation. But I think it's sort of been the consensus around people that pay attention to the game that the Dodgers are built probably better than anyone else for the long-term stretch and not so much looking at, you know, short spurts. But I wanted to end our conversation with Don Mattingly. Interesting turn of events, and he brought up a very good point on replay. So there was sort of a little bit of a controversy when it seemed like Ryan Braun may not have beaten Uribe's throw, and they called him, I guess, safe, and the call stood, and Mattingly sort of had a different take on that. And he wanted maybe the people observing in New York that are making these calls to not know what the original call was. What do you think about that?
Well, I think where he's really coming from is if the umpires on the field have to make a call of safe or out, then the review umpires in New York should have to make a call of safe or out and not say, basically, too close to call, we won't overturn it. You know, he says that's kind of a passive way of doing it. And if the guys on the field have to commit themselves one way or the other, then so should the review umpires. And I think he was kind of making an exaggeration about how they shouldn't know who the umpire is, shouldn't know who the players are, shouldn't know what the call on the field was. They should just isolate on whether the tag beat the runner or not. But I think his point is valid in that there shouldn't be wiggle room. It should be decisive. He's either safe or out because that's how the call will wind up being enforced in the game. So the umpire should make it that way as opposed to kind of shrugging your shoulders, say, we can't tell, so we're not going to overturn it. He just thinks that's not he felt that they should take the human element out of it. And I would agree with him.
Yeah, because they basically, by even doing replay, they have taken the human element out. That was sort of the point of this whole thing. And so, yeah, I mean, you would think that they would take the entire human element out of it. It's amazing to me that you could still look at the replay and not be able to tell definitively safe or out.
Well, and that's his argument. You have to. In baseball, you have to make a call. And so a no call, in his mind, isn't acceptable. It should be one way or the other. And if you have to make a call on the field one way or the other, you can't just shrug your shoulders and say, I don't know, go to the replay. You know, the replay official should be able to say he's either safe or he's out.
Yeah. Well, I would agree with that. So I think we're all on the same page on that. Ken, thanks so much, and we will talk to you next week.
Okay, Allison, thanks.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.